You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 49 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. My name is Dio Morales. I am your host, and I am completely alone. Today is going to be an episode filled with pretty much whoever I can find on the internet who's willing to call me. And we also have an interview with Timbo Slice out of Toronto, talking about the party bus that they're going to be taking to Worlds. I did want to do a quick Patreon update. I want to say thank you to everybody who has been supporting our streaming efforts and our show. You guys are awesome. And I do want to mention again the Twitch Prime program, which is amazing. If you have Amazon Prime, you can go ahead and connect your Amazon Prime account to Twitch. And it gives you one free Prime subscription a month. You do have to click it monthly, but it costs you nothing. And I actually made a video. It's on our YouTube page. You can go ahead, jump on our YouTube. It's the first video up there right now. And it goes step by step how to do it. It's super easy. And again, if you have Amazon Prime already, it's free. If your girlfriend has Amazon Prime, it's free. Your mom, it's fine. It's free. Whoever's got it, as long as they're not using Twitch, and if you have their password, you can do it. It costs absolutely nothing.
Unlock the hologram.
Hello, everyone. I have a really, really cool opportunity here that I want to talk about. I'm here with Timbo Slice from the VTV stream out of the Prototype Toronto League. And we just finished reminding you about signing up for Worlds. Make sure you guys get that done ASAP. And Tim has a really awesome opportunity for people who have the time. And you know what, Tim? I'm just going to hand it over to you. What is this awesome thing you're doing?
Well, thanks, Dion. Before I get into anything, I got to say it's a little known fact that people from Toronto are actually secretly in love with the way that people from Chicago say the word Toronto. I don't know what it is about the way you pronounce our city, but really? It just comes off sounding amazing. Thank you very much for having me on. As you said, I'll get right into it. We're offering an opportunity to folks who have always wanted to attend the World Championships, but have never been able to. And one of the biggest problems with attending Worlds is getting a ticket and then making the travel arrangements work. We've organized a lot of that for you. We're arranging a bus tour from our origins in Toronto to FFG headquarters, which will allow for American and most importantly, international players to join up along the way and participate in some pretty outrageously affordable group rates that I've managed to line up in the city. So let's go through a few things. So there's a starting point, obviously, is in Toronto. So the places to jump on would be either in South Bend, Indiana, or just outside of O'Hare Airport in Chicago. So O'Hare is a major North American airport hub, as we know. And if you're flying from Europe or anywhere else, sometimes the flights will fly into O'Hare and connect to St. Paul, which is extra cost. Or it's usually just ridiculously less expensive to catch a direct flight to O'Hare because it's a hub and the plane was going there anyway. So you're saving some money there. You'd hop on the bus, travel from Chicago to Roseville sorted, a week's worth of hotels sorted. So we would be getting in the night before the events start on Wednesday. So even if you were to play on Thursday or Friday, you could still attend some of the side events like the Team Epic event. Sounds amazing. And then at the end of the tournament, we leave on Sunday. Sorry, Destiny players, but if you wanted to stay for the cut, you guys would have to find your own way home. And then we get you back to O'Hare for Sunday night. The cost as it stands right now is a variable, but for Americans, you're looking, if we fill the bus, which is the plan, it goes down to as low as like $425 to $450 American all in for the week.
Wow. So that's for hotel, that's for the bus. All in together.
Yes, with a few other perks, of course. You've got libations to worry about on the bus, some fun party times, and a custom collectible from the trip for mixing and mingling with all the fun Prototype Toronto League guys.
That is, dude, that's cheap. That's so
well, thank you. Inexpensive, not cheap, yeah.
Yeah, I meant that's extremely affordable.
So that's the ideal situation is that, and the fewer people on the bus, it gets a little bit more expensive. But you're never talking about, like, for a European or a Canadian, it's like $2,000 to $2,500 for a week. You got currency conversions. We poor Canadians have to deal with the fact that the airport in Toronto, the Pearson International Airport's the most expensive airport tax in the Western Hemisphere. There's only two airports in the world with more airport tax, and they're both in Asia. So it costs you just as much in tax as it does for the flight to fly from Toronto to St. Paul.
Wow. So yeah, that sounds like a bus is probably a much better idea for you guys.
we were just like, forget this. We're going to create a great opportunity. I mean, there is a cost involved. You've got to take the extra time off. But the dates to jump on are pretty reasonable. You've got 2 days before the event starts to hop on in. It'd just be the day before. So the Tuesday, the 1st of May to hop on from Chicago, and then you're flying out on the Sunday night. There is a public Facebook event that you have the link for, Dion, and anybody. The biggest message I guess we had is not just trying to promote this event. The message that we had is FFG has given the world a slim timeline on applying for tickets, which doesn't necessarily lock you into anything. So the message that we're trying to convey to everybody, and thank you for helping us do it, is to apply for a ticket. Go to their website. All of the details you need are in the bus's event wall pin post for how to find the correct registration page, either if you want a regional or a national, or if you're just a general admission player. But for all those general admission players, for the mid-tier players, guys are not sure, you know, if they should be going to Worlds or whatever. This is an amazing opportunity, and Worlds is more than just the main event. There's side events. You get to learn from people who are the best in the world, and it's going to be just an absolute killer week.
Yeah, Worlds has always been a good time. Just the fact there's so many good people that come out, just hanging around and talking to people who enjoy X-Wing is worth it. That alone. The community has always been great. I've been to each world since I started this whole Gold Squadron podcast thing. And it's my favorite part of the year. It's like Christmas.
Well, a lot of us are big fans of what you guys are doing. Not just yourself, but the other American talent and podcasters. I was speaking with the Crates last night. So just wanted to share this opportunity for everybody south of the border. And I think you had a question about whose idea it was as well in your...
Who was the mastermind?
This is kind of like a follow-up finale to the bus that we did to Naboo in March of last year. It was on St. Patrick's Day, so we put together 30 of us just from all over Southern Ontario, and we did the trip to Syracuse. And just the look on the 10 or 12 players' faces as we like rolled up to the convention center and like a single file line of us piled out of the bus, just the look on those guys' faces was worth the entire thing.
That's fantastic. That's well, I'm looking forward to see you guys do this again. So I just want to get like just do some quick hits here just to be like super clear. So you're starting in Toronto.
Yes.
From Toronto, you go to
Indiana.
Which city are you hitting first? You're hitting South Bend, Indiana first, and you guys will be in South Bend, Indiana to pick up people. Where are they picking them up?
So we make one stop in Canada. We cross the border in Detroit. So if you're in Northwest Michigan or anywhere near Detroit, you can hop on there.
Okay.
The first night, we have to stay. You can't drive all the way through the bus driver's union. So we're going to stay the night in South Bend, Indiana. And there will be beverages. That's happening. And then, yeah, the next morning, the pickup at O'Hare happens, which is, okay, you know, where we'll get up, drive into the city. So yeah, you're wanting to fly into O'Hare arriving on the morning of the first before noon. Cause at noon we're going to make the pickup, and then we're going to do the afternoon trip from Chicago to Roseville, check in that night, get all rested, and then Worlds kicks off the next day.
Yeah, and for anybody who is Chicago local, you can just take the CTA to get to O'Hare, and be able to meet up with these guys. Should be no issue whatsoever. Blue Line, if you're not a train rider.
Yeah, we're gonna pick a place off the highway for everybody to meet. It's gonna be convenient as we can make it. The key is, though, if you're an international player or a Chicago local and you don't know who I am, follow the sound of my voice. Just come to the light.
That's right.
Navigate over to the link in the event and just reach out. We'll make contact.
Yeah, and Tim, we're gonna put that link in the description for the episode, and we'll also put it on our Ghost Squadron podcast page. That way, people can find it easily. Because I really love this opportunity, all the things you put together. I'm excited to see what happens, see the pictures. I unfortunately personally can't go because I'm going to be working in that extra time. But trust me, if I could, I would be there, no doubt.
And we'd love to have you aboard if we could, man.
I'm jelly. I'm sitting here being jelly, I'll tell you that.
So as it stands, there's two tiers of bus. You can either take a big bus or a BFG bus. It's an old French expression. We're shooting to fill the big one if we can. Otherwise, the costs go up, you know, in increments of like $10. So you don't want that to happen. You want to keep it as affordable for everybody as possible.
Right.
So yeah, right now we're about half full. We've got about 24 people who have said to me, yes, I'm applying for a ticket. Yes, I'm super interested. So add to that another, I would say, let me look at my spreadsheet here. We've nicknamed the bus Home One because that's awesome.
Yes, it is.
So yeah, we got about 8 or 9 people who are also like, I'm going to apply for a ticket and see how she goes, which means that we're looking to try and get between, you know, 8 and 12 international and American locals to help us get on and just make it killer for everybody. It's like I said, a lot of Canadians are put off from going to Worlds because of the costs involved. So we wanted to try and put something together that makes the people who should be competing for the title able to go.
That's right. And then just a reminder to the listeners is, by going to the link and reaching out for information, remember, you're not committing to anything. And of course, we don't know who actually gets a ticket until FFG tells us who has a ticket. So, you know, just make sure you're mindful of that. If this sounds like interesting to you and if you get a ticket and you're this is a perfect way to get there. So I highly suggest it. Tim, thank you for reaching out to me to get this word out there, because I want to make sure that this bus happens and that it's as affordable for everybody as possible. And you know what? You know what? I'm going to throw in a little bonus, Tim. We haven't talked about this. I am going to, you let me know when the bus happens and how many people you're going to get. And everybody on that bus is going to get a piece of Gold Squadron podcast swag.
Oh, snap.
There you go.
Dion coughing up the goods. I love it, man. Thank you.
No problem. I love supporting group efforts in things like this. And This is feel good story. This is kind of stuff I like. So
I'm waiting for that one. I'm waiting for that one kid who's been playing X-Wing in his basement in like Northwestern Michigan for like the last 8 months with all his buddies, and he's amazing, and he's never been to a tournament, and he gets on the bus and goes to Worlds and finishes like top 16. That'd be like, that would make the whole thing worth it for me.
Fantastic. Well, Tim, I look forward to seeing you at Worlds. And if you need any help with this at all, just reach out. Gold Squadron Podcast has your back.
Cheers, mate. We'll see you there.
Rebellions are built on hope.
Let's jump straight into Wave 14. So one of the things I think we noticed right away is the fact that we saw... Or we're getting a package of two ships, that one that everybody's been asking for a fix, right? Everybody's been asking for a fix for the X-Wing, and we might have gotten it. So if we peek, zoom in, enhance, it looks like we're getting some S-foil, some flippable S-foil modification, it looks like, because it does, if you zoom in here, it looks like it says T65 probably only, and then underneath this is modification. So, and I think they have to say modification on there because modification. Oh, here's Blair.
With Ray Crew, you get the focus that she needs. You just target lock your actions. You get the double actions. And she sits at a nice cheap 33 points, the PS9 arc. It's not actually that bad. If you have
It's not bad at all.
Well, who's out here?
Who's this guy?
Yeah, who boarded our boiler room? Who boarded through the ducks?
I'm the ominous voice broadcasting you to the world live.
Ooh.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
What's going on, buddy? For everyone that doesn't know your sultry voice, this is Dion from Gold Squadron Podcast.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Have you recovered from that beating that I gave you, Dion, in Indy? Because that was pretty filthy.
The smack talk is real.
The smack talk is real. You know, I seriously was debating for league night this week. I'm not able to make it tomorrow because it's Valentine's Day. So, reminder, Valentine's Day.
Bro, but this won't go out before tomorrow. Bro.
Well, I mean, this...
Relationships for relationships.
But he's live.
Right. Well, this is live now. So,
Are you actually Twitch streaming it live?
Yeah, I'm totally Twitch streaming right now.
Oh, nice. Even better.
Sweet. Yeah. But I pulled out my robots, and I'm planning to unleash that hell on somebody else. So it's going to be great.
Sweet. I always love it when I inspire chaos.
You should record it and send it to Jesper. He would get a kick out of that.
I'm sure he would. Me playing robots badly. It's going to be great.
what were you flying at Indy?
Two boats in Kylo.
Okay.
And my boats never did more than a one forward after engagement. It was great.
I mean, that's pretty much how our control works, right?
It was pretty awesome. And then I caught your Kylo and made you walk him off the board.
Yep.
It's a terrible feel. So I've played that list a few times as well, like locally, and it's a great feeling when your opponent suddenly realizes that like they're just one forwarding for 5, 6, 7 turns, like however much life they have left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
feels bad, man.
It sure does.
But I never saw a ghost because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to walk silly Kanan just right off the board.
Yep.
I guess since we're live, since some of them haven't heard this, but Nate, I believe Renegade Refit is for the T-65.
Yeah, for sure.
T-65 only.
Yeah.
I don't think it's U-wing. We'll put it that way. It could be U-wing. Like, give it to him. We haven't got to that point, but like, is the U-wing still bad, guys? Like, it's still bad, right? Like, there's nothing in this that we see that, like, we even remotely care.
Yeah, I guess bad is a relative term. It's just bad because it's way overcosted. Like, if that thing costs, like, 25 points base, maybe then it'd still be pretty good.
It's 23 points base.
Yeah.
What if one of those titles gives it, like, a minus cost, though?
Sure. Well, that's the idea. I think everybody thinks the refit is going to be negative something, just like Chartum.
If the refit does say T-65, X-Wing, and U-Wing, then it's maybe not so bad. That's the only way I can see the U-Wing invented. The only issue is like the two crew slots can't be really utilized on it. Well, all the Rebel crew help the ship it's on. You got the Ghost with the double crew. Double crew. So what's the U-Wing?
I mean, there's a few of them that can help others, but not a ton. I mean, you're right.
The best use I saw was for, I think, Blair did it in a team tournament. We did 75 points each, and it was a U-Wing with Janor as an operations specialist behind the list.
Sure. Yep.
So triggering out, and he had a bunch of swarm leader snapshot A-Wings and Jess Pava. So
do we think, is the Renegade refit going to take up the torpedo slot? Like the Chardon refit is the missile slot?
I mentioned that. I don't know if it necessarily has to, but I don't think anyone would miss it.
Right.
Who's really putting a proton torpedo on an X-Wing?
Ion torpedoes, bro. That's where it's at.
Ion torpedoes are really good.
I agree. That's a solid card. I'm just saying no one, you know, brings chips because then you sacrifice, you know, integrated, and without integrated, they're even more fragile, which they just melt to anything. Yeah. So
I don't think you will lose it integrated in any way. So I think this is like a torpedo slot, or if for some reason it's a mod slot, it's going to let you take another mod slot.
Yeah,
for sure.
If that's the thing where then you can take integrated plus chips and a torpedo, then maybe, but then you're just putting a lot of points in a T-65, which I think that's the problem. You want to get points off a T-65 to make them viable.
Well, if you had integrated and chips, I can see some use for that Alpha Wes Jansen or a Wedge, because there are people who are using that temporarily, not even putting integrated, just fly just their BB Wedge, the plasma torp beside Aaron Kraken and Nim. They get that alpha off, but
yeah, that's a weird corner case, because even in those lists, I would argue that that's putting too many points into one of those baskets. Like,
yeah.
It's an interesting alpha trick, and then after that, I don't think that thing could survive, right? Like, if you don't manage to hit with those, you know, three ordnance, you're dead, because what else are you going to do after
that? Yeah, Aaron Kraken does nothing. They just focus on Nim.
Exactly.
But Josh Jadson with flight assist, and even just without integrated, when I was using with chips, I tried it out. Like, if you have any initiative or higher pile skill with Wes, he just keeps on that target stripping tokens.
Yeah, no, really I did mess around like a little bit with the Wedge Wes, you know, flight assist combo, both of them at PS10, and I had a lot of fun with it, and I really liked it. And you know, Wes being able to, you know, take locks off or strip tokens off or whatever, it's one of those really good subtle combos that I don't think a lot of people appreciate, you know, or at least a lot of newer players don't appreciate, because they just look at a T65 and laugh, or, you know, they've never actually seen Wes on a table, right? He does have a lot of subtle control that, both offensive and defensive, because if you're taking mods away, he can't get hit very easily, you know, that type of thing. And if you just take a lock away, well, now they can't fire that missile or whatever, you know? So I really like it. I'm just trying to find that right little combo that makes it work and not have a meta that's full of bullshit to just nuke everything. So,
hey, just
go ahead.
You're good. So, a little random tidbit. I don't know if you guys have touched on this, but I want to let you guys know that Marcel's card is in this spread.
So I saw that on Facebook. We don't know what the card is, but we know it's here.
Yes.
I'm guessing it's not the S foils or the refit, because those don't seem like that would be something they give to Marcel. So I'm guessing maybe it's Saw Gorilla, Guerrera Crew.
I think it's got to be like that targeting. Oh no, it's maybe Scrambler. I don't know. It could be Saw Gorilla.
There's another
crew there in Rebel Only. We have no idea what it does yet, and we still have that other hidden card in the back that thrust something.
It's a card in the spread, and I'm excited for it. That's all I'm allowed to say.
Okay.
Probably not allowed to say that, but you know.
Yeah, I can be excited about anything I want to. Nobody can stop my excitement.
That's like, true.
No one's going to be allowed. There's a difference.
FFG doesn't control your emotions.
That's right.
Okay. So that's been a bunch of talk about. See, and the other problem is like FFG. I gave you how to fix the U-wing. I've told you this from the get-go. All you had to do was take away its forward firing arc and give it broadside arcs, and everything would be great in the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you failed to do that twice now. So.
And. No, I can't let this go without, where the hell's the K2SO pilot and or crew? That is
second
a
chance.
Huge red flag.
Did Alan Tudyk kick somebody's puppy that works for Disney?
Like that is the only explanation at this point. Like, that dude's a better pilot than Cassian Andor showed in that entire movie, and he doesn't even have a pilot card.
They're gonna save it. I mean, the K2SO just expansion pack by himself.
Sure, I wouldn't buy that.
At this point, I would be perfectly fine if they just took all of Sabine's cards and just turned them into K2SO. Like, that would be a much more preferable option to me than just seeing Sabine in like 12 things.
Yeah.
Hell, I would even use the Sabine crew if it was actually K2SO, because I'd laugh.
You wouldn't feel as bad?
I'd laugh because I'm like, hey, K2SO is blowing things up. This is cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked enough about the terrible Rebels and the stupid crap that they're going to get and how I'm going to have to deal with five, like, PS1s that can dance all over the place while getting focused still, like Winterfell.
It's going
to
be great.
And have six hit points. No, it's
I
not.
I just have
be,
to laugh that we took. We talked about the U-Wing for all of, like, 30 seconds.
No one cares. No one cares about the U-Wing.
No, poor thing.
So the real expansion that got released, or got announced, is the TIE Reaper. And this thing looks
Pop Shuttle 2.0?
Fun. Yeah, it is the Palp Cadillac. Thank you very much.
Oh, excuse me.
Palp Caddy.
Hold, let me jump on. Let me jump on Photoshop. I'll get it started. Let's see.
It's the Palp Caddy. So I mean, we've got the Doom Canoe for Vader riding in a bomber. So you've got the Doom Caddy or the Palp Caddy, and then you get the full on shuttle.
What are you gonna call the Krennic boat or whatever?
Dude, Krennic's so good. Like, yeah. Oh, man. Like, all right, for everyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, Director Krennic is 5 points one crew, and basically at the start of the game, you get to give his condition to a friendly Galactic Empire ship with three or fewer shields.
Yeah, so no
so that
first
means
order.
None of your first order stuff. Yep. So no Kylo getting an extra shield. No, or so no Kylo getting this. No FOs. No SFs.
Yep.
Sad. Well, and I get well, and also doubly no bat shuttles.
And no no silent. Did you say silencer?
Is it three? Yeah. Is it three or fewer, or fewer
three,
than three?
No, it's three or fewer.
Okay, so a defender, defenders are in there. Okay.
So now what this does, it gives you the optimized prototype condition, which the start of this is just increase your shield value by one, which is really good. You absolutely can stack that with shield upgrade if you wanted to. Give yourself like a five shield defender.
Now, would that be able to? Because the shield, you start with four shields at the beginning of the game.
Ooh, well, maybe not. Okay, that's possible.
Yeah,
that's fair. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah,
all right. You can have Suterfell with a shield upgrade and this, and two shields.
Yeah, absolutely.
Suterfell.
Yep. Yeah. But then the first paragraph we get to see, we don't get to see what the second paragraph is once per round, when performing a primary weapon attack, you may spend the one die result to remove one shield from the defender. So yeah, you could spend a blank. You could spend a focus. Now, there's a couple of caveats here. It is once per round, so anybody that could have, like, a gunner effect where you're shooting multiple times, you're only going to get to do it once. You can't do it twice if you miss, or to two separate people, that kind of
sad,
thing.
Sad whisper.
Same thing with, like, a TLT, right?
It's primary weapon only, so you can't do that.
Oh, sure, okay, primary. Perfect. Even better.
Yeah, you don't have, was it the aggressor doing two room shields from across the table?
Right, yeah.
Out of arc.
Well, still, once per round, so couldn't do it either. Presumably there's some drawback to this card, because there's no way they're gonna like let me give a shield upgrade and a damage buff to just like another ship for just a crew member. So
well, I mean, he does cost
a crew.
Yeah, it's 5 points though. Wait,
but
so
it's
I mean,
one more point more than a mod, and you're not taking up the mod of the ship you're giving it to.
True. It's really I'm just right now. It just seems like absolutely terrifying if you're using that on Whisper, but in a meta that Whisper just doesn't melt. But you
does
know,
does it though?
I mean, you're making her hit ridiculously hard. Well,
so this is
just taking
Whisper
taking,
needs to hit. So
yeah, I guess that was my question. So taking a shield is not hitting.
Correct.
So,
if you're removing a die result.
For me, it's like on Vader because he's not rerolling anyways. So
yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. Yep.
No, yeah, that.
And then he's pushing crits through with his with the ATC.
Yep.
So, no, Vader's, like, one of the first.
Are you kidding me? My list is, like, two of these stupid things. One has Palp on it, the other has Krennic, and they're both just, like, tossing buffs to Vader just solo. It's Vader against the world. Let's go, baby.
Yeah. any ship that doesn't have any rerolls you're not going to use, it's really good.
Yeah. What else are these things do? They're jamming everything. And if you get close to them, they're jamming you for days. And then you just have seven jam tokens on you, and you can never take actions again. It's great.
Now,
they have the evade action.
Have we confirmed?
And we can do lightweight frame.
Have we confirmed whether or not that jam is like the epic jam, or is it going to be like jam to receive a jam token?
We haven't confirmed that.
Right.
But it comes with jam tokens.
Okay, I didn't even pay attention to that. There it is.
And I'm sorry, but if they started giving a small base ship that could carry Palpatine epic jam in the 100-point game, like
I'm
table flipping everything.
I'm
like,
so
this
in.
Is
give
stupid.
It to me now.
No,
it's
great. Like I play Imperial just as much as I play anything else.
Right.
But no, like that. Like no.
Everyone brings Yor. It'll be great.
Good lord.
It'd be Yor in these things. That'll be the list.
So, I mean, we got some cool stuff in there. We also have Death Troopers. I think Death Troopers are, like,
they're
not
unique,
bad.
Unique, I think.
They are, yeah. You only bring one. They take two true. They weren't. So, this, How Silly was, like, four of these. Like, four with Death Troopers flying towards you.
When I first looked at it, I didn't see the unique. So, I was like, why not just take three of them? You shoot at one of my guys, take three stress.
I also didn't see the double crew, so I thought you could put them and Rebel Captive.
Oh.
Kind of thing,
right? Too good. How good would this be? It'd be great. It's fine. I don't see any.
No, you definitely saved it because I'm like, this is gonna be bullshit, and then I'm like, oh, okay, double crew. Okay, I can breathe easy now.
Yeah,
doesn't do anything to solve the ghost problem, but you know.
You can do Death Trooper and Rebel Captive on a Decimator. It'd be a waste of three crew, but you can do it.
But like, I mean, talk about a Biggs, right? Like, this is what a lot of people wanted Biggs to be changed to, right? Like, if you didn't shoot Biggs, you got stress.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, now if you don't shoot our Biggs, you get stressed. Okay. And has the potential to, you know, stress out the entire list. It's not like a once per round kind of thing, yeah. Right? Like, it's anytime someone else gets attacked, you take stress.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was once per round. Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah. thankfully, they can only go on three things, right? The Decimator, the TIE Reaper, and the Palp Shuttle, right? So
yeah, the TIE Bomber.
And the Upsilon.
Does TIE Bomber have two crew?
If sure you make does. It a shuttle.
The TIE Shuttle has two crew.
And it's not expensive.
Like, no, that'd be you get 18 points.
Yeah, right?
Lightweight frame for 20.
Sure, whatever.
Oh, what keeps you from putting Palpatine on that bomber, then?
You can't have over 4 point crew.
That's
numbers.
What it is. Okay. Yep. That's why I forgot it had two crew, because I was why is everyone
put,
just
can't put
Palpatine
Krennic
on
there.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
I'm looking at actually reading the Death Troopers, so after another Fellowship at range 1 becomes a defender, if you are inside, the attack is firing arc at range 1 to 3, the attacker receives 1 stress token. So the issue with Death Troopers, if you're chasing down a turret, Death Troopers is nothing. They have to stick everybody.
Sure.
You.
No, like, Death Troopers aren't actually going to do anything because everyone's a turret, so it doesn't really matter.
So maybe a bomber is the best place for you. Use it, low PS bomber, excuse me, blocker. You just get in the way.
Wait, what is Zach getting pissed about?
What isn't Zach getting pissed about?
I love you,
are
Zach.
Are we still talking about Jam? Is this why he's still mad?
I think
like,
so.
It's fine. No
I was just wondering. I was just wondering whether it was Epic Jam or not. Because literally the symbol is exactly the same. There's nothing different.
It's fine. Yeah. Zach just wants to pile a whole bunch of stress on stuff because, you know, he has a weird fetish with stress tokens.
Maybe
so.
He'll come play. He'll come to come back to Empire. It'll be fine. Blair, what do you think of this? Would you run multiples of these?
The Death Troopers?
No, the Reaper in general.
What? Let me look at the stat. I haven't looked at
three,
it at
three,
all.
3162.
Yeah, 3162, focus evade, jam, two crew, some of them have elites. The dial looks like maybe shuttle-ish. It has a heart 2 red, but there's a title it has, the advanced ailerons, we're guessing it's called.
Yeah.
It's going to be something like that. Like,
yeah, because you treat your reds maybe as whites, and then if you are stressed, if he doesn't, I'm not sure.
So it's not the same ailerons, it's a different aileron specifically for this. Okay.
Correct.
So it probably helps you move around the table. It ruins the reds temporarily while you're not stressed.
Yeah.
Is three new crew in there? Or two? Well, I guess Krennic, Death Troopers, and there's two of one card. I guess it's tactical officer.
Yeah,
and then there's the ISB officer, I'm guessing. And then there's a new...
I don't think it's officer. It's something else, but yeah.
Or agent? ISB agent?
It looks like an S being the first letter.
Yeah.
But sure, whatever. Doesn't actually matter.
And then there's I'm guessing maybe an elite pilot talent. There's decoy, and then one, I think... I'm not sure if it's a mod or a... it's unknown. This was multi-something camo and camouflage. Maybe multi-spectrum camouflage.
Yeah, multi-spectrum would be my guess. And even small, it's small ship only. Okay, I'm in.
Fine
with that.
It looks super.
Yeah.
The art looks awesome. That's
right?
All
yeah.
I know.
But that'd be interesting to see what that small ship. It has more text. So small ship only. It might have another restriction on it.
Sure.
Could it be a missile? The art kind of looks like there's a curve.
I think it's avoiding a missile. No,
yeah.
I think that is like a shield around something.
Yeah, it doesn't have a missile slot, right? So
that's true. It
but and it is unique. Multi-spectrum, whatever, is unique.
Yeah.
So
kind of like experimental interface kind of thing.
Yeah, it could be. Could be an interesting mod. Oh, and like the even the PS6 guy seems cool. Like if you're shooting people that don't have tokens, he can change a focus or a blank to a hit. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's really good.
If he's the only one with an EPT, or if the other named one has an EPT, it would be nice, because, like, you could put Lone Wolf on this thing, and then Palp, and then, like, lightweight frame, and now he's super hard to kill. Like, that's fun.
Gosh, that
would be annoying. And taking an evade every turn. Oh, man, so good.
Evader jam.
Yep.
Yeah, and you can... It's got the system slot on it, right?
It does not.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I was going to say you could put the 0 point...
Targeting scrambler.
Yeah, the targeting scrambler on it too.
Oh,
that's on the U-wing. Oh,
that's
fine. Okay. The U-wing, the ship no one will fly.
So
now, one thing with this jam action coming out, this is a wide one, probably is a no, but do you think Opportunist has a purpose?
With jam?
Yeah, what you have in the game.
I mean, so we don't see opportunists when we have other ways of stripping tokens already.
Yeah. It's too expensive.
Well, and the stress portion of it also sucks a whole bunch for a lot of things that could make use of it. Yeah. So,
I mean, it's devastating effect, but too expensive and too much of a detriment when you got the stress pile on.
What is really crazy, though, is, like, you, in theory, well, there's no way you won't. You can fit four of these in a list, right? Like,
right. If we're assuming the points cost of the base one is
20.
Unless they pointed these like the resistance bomber, but there's only a 3-point difference between all of them.
Even if there is, you can still get four of them, right? Because it's the high
definitely,
pilot.
Definitely could take four. Definitely could take four.
Yeah, so just like think about just rolling up with these things and stacking here's your four jams on somebody, like on the initial joust. Like, you don't have offensive actions for a while. Yeah, sure.
You just stack four jams on Superfell. He cries.
All right, gentlemen. I'm gonna jump off here. I gotta keep doing my show. I love you guys though.
See you, Dion.
I love you too, Dion.
Thanks, Dion. I'll see you this weekend,
have
dude.
Fun. Have fun. Yeah, we'll see you this weekend.
Wait, what? Where are you going this weekend?
Portland.
Yeah.
Got the system open.
Dion, what are you? Man, I hope you're getting frequent flyer miles, man.
Listen. Trouble. I do this for the community. I do it for the people.
Oh, I'm aware. And I'm just saying, like. Stack up them frequent flyer miles, maybe steal a little bit of Patreon money and take your wife on a nice vacation for her letting you just fly all over the country to like give us X-Wing.
It's definitely, she's walking right next to me right here. Right, honey?
Yeah,
you want me to take you on a trip somewhere, right, with all this freaking flyer miles?
And don't go to Australia to go cover one of their regionals.
No, I'm not.
Or do.
I don't know if I can afford that quite yet. We'll work on it.
Small aside with Australia. Actually had an Australian player at Vancouver Regionals here in BC.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Who was it?
I think Michael Turner was his name. He had one person over here, Sean White. He was part of the Onyx Squadron. He actually moved to one of the outlying towns of British Columbia. And you're
being the guy.
I was like, you mean our like multi... like gold medal snowboarding winner,
the guy who just won the gold medal tonight.
Oh, did he win again?
Morning or whatever. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So
talking about Mountain Dew, baby.
Yeah, no, it was great. He was actually up here, I think, doing business or just vacation. He's like, oh, there's a regional happening, so he stopped by and he flew back on the right after the event. It's pretty cool.
So there were actually two guys there from Australia, Kalen.
Yeah, the other one lives here though. He lives out in the boonies.
Oh, okay.
The other one was traveling.
They both knew the Fosses.
Yeah.
And both had beat them before, and both said they were extremely salty when they lost.
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So what I'm waiting for is an opportunity where an X-Wing event lines up like with an extended vacation time for me. That way I can take my wife. Like, I think that's the plan, like, stream for 2 days and then, you know, vacation for a couple. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, waiting for that. Yeah. All right, gentlemen, I'll talk to you later. Have a good night.
All right, see you, Dion.
Bye, Gold Squadron.
D.
It's D, Zach Matthews.
It's D. Yoon Morales. How are you doing?
Four rolls. Crates on top. Am I close?
Yeah, you're. I like it. I like the effort. The effort is there.
He just asked why you won't answer him.
You got through fine.
I was sitting here waiting too, and so I had to call in. I'm D. Zach Matthews.
That's right.
Carolina Crates podcast.
Oh man, how you been?
All right, hanging in there.
So when,
a lot of excitement. Got the podcast curse happening in full effect. What, now they're doing previews on Tuesdays now? What's up with that?
I don't know. I don't know, but I got the jump. I'm okay. See, I was supposed to record yesterday and everything fell through, but it looks like it was divine intervention.
Oh, you are blessed.
This week. When am I going to see you at the next event? What's the next big one you're hitting up?
I am judging at Mountain View Regional this upcoming weekend, and then at SoCal Regional next month. After that, I think it's Worlds.
Okay. Yeah, see you at Worlds for sure.
So what are the hot questions we're doing here? What are we talking about?
What are we talking about? I'm not really talking about, I got home early from an engagement I had. My wife's super tired, so she's just going to bed. So I was like, you know what? Let's just talk to the people. I literally have, this is one of the few times I have no script. Like, I have nothing. Zero. Zilch. Nada. I just want to talk about Wave 14, I guess. I guess that's a smart choice, right? I lost him. He bailed on me. Where did my D go?
Sorry. Just trying not to cough.
Oh, you were almost dying. Don't do that.
Yeah. Well, you guys just covered all the stuff in the preview, didn't you?
I mean, I jumped on, like, Blair called me in the middle of their broadcast, and they were like, yeah, the U-Wing sucks. And then they went on to the Reaper for, like, 3 seconds, and then that was it.
That thing gets so much hate.
I mean, if the U-Wing gets to also be an X-Wing at the same time, according to the original pictures on the base... I don't know if you did you notice that?
That was so good. What is up with FFG's PR department? Like, we, you know, like I'm an FFG apologist in general.
Right.
I give them a lot of slack, but man, that PR department with their pictures and previews, like going back to like even like the K-Wing and stuff, like here they're calling, right? It was like they called it red in the picture.
Right, yeah.
They had that X-Wing, a large base X-Wing with a U-Wing model. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I wonder if now, though, is it a joke? Like, you know what? We've screwed this up so many times. It's kind of like Where's Waldo? You just put some little things in there and see what gets noticed.
Well, then they wouldn't have fixed it.
Did they fix it?
Yeah, they swapped the image.
Oh, sad.
I don't know. So the U-Wing's in a strange place, because if it were any cheaper and you actually could take advantage of those crew slots, then it could get abusive.
That's what I'm talking about. Like that Renegade refit might be something that if it takes the torpedo slot, like the Chardon refit, I wonder if it makes it cheap enough, that's where we can find the money there.
I am with Starslinger, though. I wish it did have side arcs.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would be great. Though in space, I don't know if that really works, because they have to open the doors.
They got, no, you never, it's weird. In Star Wars, you never see spacesuits. I guess maybe in Rebels, like the cartoons and stuff, but sure. Never in Clone Wars, but never in the films.
Well, we saw, like, in Rogue One, we see Darth Vader exposed to open space, right? He's, like, hanging out of the hangar.
That's because he's a drama queen.
This is true.
He's just trying to look cool. Yeah. Do you ever see that Reddit thread about what a drama queen he is at the end of Rogue One in that sequence leading up to butchering the rebels?
I have not.
All right, so he has to, in order for him to have that dramatic lightsaber ignition, he has to turn all the buttons on his breastplate off, his chest plate off. So he's basically off life support. He's just holding his breath in there. Ignites his lightsaber just for dramatic effect, and then cuts into them.
Beautiful. All right, man. So out of these cards, D, what's the one that got you the most excited, or something there that you see? Maybe we don't know it all, but you're like, man, I'm really curious about X, Y, or Z.
Man, the one I was flipping about was optimized prototype. It just seems like there's so much you can do with that, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's so many good targets. You could, if you want to front load burst damage, like you put that on Sabacc, suddenly it fixes both of Sabacc's problems. There's a lot of us out there, a lot of Imperial affiliated flares who miss Soontir Fel with a passion, and suddenly it fixes both his problems. In terms of offense and defense.
Yep.
We've already seen Inquisitor in play, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just because he's already got that fix from that Soontir doesn't. And then that just makes him stronger. Defenders seem outrageous. It looks crazy. This thing looks crazy to me.
I'm really curious to see what that second paragraph, though, says, because it does look like there's something else underneath there.
Yeah, I'm curious as well. It does seem likely. Some people have pointed out, though, that some of the other condition cards barely have any text on them, like a debt to pay.
That's so it's true.
Possible that that there isn't any more, that they're just messing with us.
Like, we could have put it in the front, but now we have you wondering, huh?
Yeah, and on our Facebook group, I've been fielding sort of discussions about even just the mechanic of you may spend one die result. Mm-hmm. It's a really strange timing issue because a lot of people are thinking of it as a die modification, but it isn't. It's not one of the three things that qualifies as a technical dice mod. And we've been sitting around here wondering, is there any reason you can't wait until after step six, the compare dice results?
Hmm.
You know, like maybe you can just wait to see if your attack's just going to be great anyway. And then if it happens to be completely evaded, you could activate it to remove that one shield. Are you aware of, we were wondering too, is it Crimson, one of the bombers, right? Yeah. You get to assign the condition by canceling, by spending a result?
Yeah, Crimson Leader.
Do we know the timing on that one? Has there been a ruling?
There's not. Let me go pull it out here. When attacking, if the defender is inside your firing arc at range, that one says when attacking, so it does give a window there.
Right, but the window is the attack timing, the entire attack timing chart, is it not?
Deal damage.
Because it's not, you're like right, someone brought up accuracy corrector. That specifies during the mod step. But
yep.
This is, you know how like hotshot, you just have to spend that focus any time during that entire attack window.
Hmm.
Yeah, we need some FFG. We need some, we need that FAQ locked and loaded, ready to go on release, please.
Absolutely, yeah, because, I mean, that gives, having that perfect information, if it's true that it's at the end of the attack, it's great. I mean, we know the timing chart does say that you cancel dice, you know, you compare results and you cancel out your hits with your evades and things like that. So I think you would assume that it would be before, but again, there's no clarity.
I feel like they've dropped this particular ball a couple of times with like things like Crackshot and Wampa. You know, when they released that timing chart, I was so pleased because we had this reference we could just go right to. But then when you have these vague, you know, things triggering in these large vague windows, then that defeats the whole purpose. A little frustrating, especially now, like as a judge, like I hate being confused.
You're like, I hope, maybe, hopefully, your best chance is hopefully nobody asks the question, right?
Well, because when you're a player, you know, you hope for the best. You hope that in gray situations, judges rule in your favor, and if they don't, you just whatever,
right?
You know, you just move on. But as a judge, like, shoot, people are depending on you. Yeah, you don't want to bollocks that.
Yeah, because then people will make a 4-page Reddit post about how you ruled something wrong, and it turns out to be right. Chicago did nothing wrong.
I am good with FFG Game Center ruling setting precedent, even though they technically defy RAW.
Yes.
I am good with that moving forward. I've been trying to coin a new term called BIS, because I said so.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Because if you look at the FAQ, and technically, like, they didn't errata anything. These are supposed to be clarifications, but they defy the RAW logic on the cards. So BIS is greater than RAW, which is greater than Rye. And that's, I'm good with that.
Yep. Hey D, can you like
What's in? Am I monopolizing the?
No, this is fine. I need you to fill the air for about 2 minutes because I realized I didn't plug my computer in, and I have 6% left on my laptop, and I gotta get the charger. So
dang, I gotta solo this.
Ready?
All right,
on your mark, get set, go.
All right. What else we got in that preview pack? Hold on, I gotta hit links here. D. Zach Matthews, ask questions. Ty Reaper, everything we know. Okay, I found the article. Nope, that's not it. Oh, I'm so bad at podcasting. All right. What else did we cover? here. All right. So I also wanted to make sure that no one thinks that you can drop that condition on quick draw. This confused me for a little bit too. The Imperial faction consists of the Galactic Empire and the First Order. And the condition specifically says that you have to put it on a Galactic Empire ship. Therefore, Quick Draw is ineligible as a First Order ship. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
Correct.
Marcel, I love you as well.
I'm back. You didn't burn anything down while I was gone, right?
Not on my end.
All right, and so when's your guys' next show coming out?
We just put one up this morning, so next week.
Okay, next week.
It's going to be kind of rough, too. Like, I'll be just back after driving down from San Francisco. Well, you know the drill. You know how exhausting that is.
Oh, yeah.
You get back, and it's all of a sudden, nope, got to record.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I did see this one pop up today. Yeah, Raptor Attack. See?
Yeah, so we
I listened to all the podcasts. Systems. Showing off on the stream my phone.
Sexy.
Yeah, man. I love what you guys do, by the way. I'm actually I'm sitting right here in arm's reach. I have the Minox Squadron Patreon card that I got in the mail yesterday.
Oh, hot.
Yeah, Captain Rex. Looking smug. Looking so smug.
That guy's such a jerk. Although when we commissioned that card, it was before the Biggs nerf.
This is true.
You know, I saw an interesting result. Looking through regionals, someone I think had a final table, or maybe it was even a win with Thane Kyrell and a Rex in a four ship rebel build. And I thought that was pretty clever because you either have to give Thane that free action or you have to deal with Rex's condition.
Right.
It's kind of it's a lose-lose.
Yeah, it feels bad. Feels bad for sure. Because there's no right choice there. Like, well, can I one-shot Rex, or what's the plan?
Yeah, they keep giving more and more tools for the four-ship rebel archetype. Like, now you got a cheap stress bug. You know, you don't have to spend the 32 points on Braylon. You can just, now, like, Rex is kind of sneaking back in. And then Lorik is just the devil.
Yeah. He's so good. So good. Yeah. I don't know if you saw at the Indiana regional, there was a guy named Brandon Thayer who brought, a four ship rebel build. He had a rookie pilot in it.
Yeah. He was final table, right?
Yeah. Final table.
At least final table. Crazy.
Dude was mowing things down. So many dice.
Yeah, he also had an Ezra stress bug in there, right?
Yep.
How good is that thing?
It's
I feel
so
like
good.
It's not seeing enough play.
It is so good. I mean, just the fact that, I mean, the defensive ability alone when it's stressed is great. It's R3A2 is auto include, and then just the fact that you have the back arc and how many maneuver options that gives you. I mean, your maneuver tree is ridiculous because, I mean, if you have Hera, I mean, I love Hera crew on it, by the way. Like, that is, that's money right there because he's extremely unpredictable. Like, you don't have to fly him as part of your formation. You can keep him a little bit separate and just do some horrible things.
Yeah, and I'm seeing it's, what, a good 10 points cheaper than the Braylon Hog?
Mm-hmm.
And it can K-turn. That's outrageous.
Yeah.
And and your namesake's in there as well. That Gold Squadron pilot is so cool with the Chopper Astromech.
Yep.
It's like just things you can check off of it.
Well, the greatest thing is when I had two games on stream and I was able to walk by while he was playing another one, and he would like serve up that Y-wing a couple times and be like, "Go ahead, shoot it. It's in range. It's fine." And then he just pops off the title, and now he's strafing with TLTs.
Right, so on the entry he gets triple attacks.
Yep.
And then if you dare or do any damage to it, suddenly it's full, you know, the same cancerous TLT that we've all been whinging about for years now.
Yep. And then it's one of those where if you don't shoot it, he's like, okay, you didn't shoot my ship. I don't take damage. That means I'm ahead and I'm in head anyway. So you got to pick your poison there.
What finally did him in? Was it a raptor attack?
Is that what you guys are calling the Lothal thing?
That's what Steve is calling it. So I mean, I gotta honor it.
I'm in. I haven't listened to the episode yet. I was finishing up one on my drive today from last week, but yeah, it was a Lothal fan. Super good. It was his list, his exact list that he won Glendale with, and but it was close. I'll tell you, it was close. It came down to there was one turn where Brandon disengages with the X-wing, and if he would have done a K-turn, he would have had two extra shots total on the Ghost and would have won the game. But it came down even still to the wire. The Ghost had one health left, and I think it's Zeb ends up finishing the game.
Hey, how bad is the squad? I feel like I'm a little too close to it. I think it's maybe not Dengaru bad, but it's pretty awful, isn't it?
You know, okay. So I flew Dengaru in its heyday, and I've flown this just to kind of get a feel for it, and it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, but at the same time, because it does have zero agility, if it's misplayed, which I have seen a lot, like seeing newer players trying to play with it, I think an experienced player versus a bad player or a less experienced player, let me put it that way, I don't want to offend anybody, can win that game, I would say, 9 times out of 10. But it would be a lie to say that somebody just kind of picking it up and going in a circle around the board doesn't have a chance. But what I'm seeing, at least in my practice, in my local play group, is that the people who are able to leverage that front arc at the right time and be able to punch somebody with like a 5-dice attack and now TLT somebody else and maybe wipe out 2 ships in one turn, that's where you see some good Ghost play. But doing a big circle around the board works okay, but I think you're more likely to lose that way.
Oh, it's filthy. Well, so my variant of it, like I'm knife fighting with it, so yeah, I don't do that circling nonsense. Hey, Zach, I got a funny anecdote though. He just chatted in there. It's like Dengaru if Dengaru could land on rocks and didn't care about arc. So I got my comeuppance when I got back. I subbed in for a game at League. Actually, it wasn't even League. I was just helping someone else prepare for an upcoming regional. And okay. I did that trick. I dropped the VCX on a rock, planning to boost off it. But then I rolled a crit, and the crit happened to be thrust control fire.
No.
And it was just game right there. It was game over.
You thought you were so clever.
Right?
You're like, it's fine. 2 out of 33. I'll be fine.
Yeah, I got into a little bit of a tiff with a guy on Reddit who was, you know, he took the complete opposite approach. He's like, man, he was calling everyone effing scrubs and they should just learn how to fly and just let the meta shake out. You know, you always have that perspective.
Right.
Like, there are no broken squads. I just, you know, looking at all these results coming up from you know, all the regionals and systems, like, you know, when you repeatedly see the mirror match.
Yeah,
at multiple regionals and opens, like he was trying to say that, okay, fine, it's a tier one squad, but when, like, I feel like it's tier right now, at least results wise, it's tier zero.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Does this need addressing, as in terms of errata, that kind of thing?
You know what? I'm on board. I don't know what they could do. That's going to be probably the question. I don't know. So, is the problem Fen or is it the Ghost, right? That's, I think, is it the fact that they gave coordinate, small ship coordinate, at such a low price, and what could they do to fix that?
Silidian's just asking that. That's, Ghost has been around for a while. Does Fen really make it that much better? Yeah,
because it's huge
at pilot skill 11 and a bid. you have perfect knowledge, and you know exactly where and when to boost. It's that knowledge. It's that's the burgling of agency.
I think the thing that might save us. This is what I think might save us. The race to the bottom, which was coined by Travis Johnson, right? Because now you want a bid, right? You want your Fen to be the last thing to move. That way, you can boost your Ghost last and get better positioning. So, I'm thinking what might happen is as people start pulling things off the Ghost or off of Fen to get it a little bit lower in cost, that's where you might start finding some opportunities with quote-unquote counter squads or just different squads in general if they're missing a tool that they usually have. That might be our savior. We'll find out. We've got to wait.
Yeah, internally at Minoc, and I don't keep secrets, but the guy who worked it out, he hasn't had a chance to drop it on the board, so I'm not going to discuss it quite yet. But there are a couple of solutions. You can make hard counters to the squad. The trick is also coming up with squads that can handle the rest of the field.
Right.
And I don't feel like anything's quite there.
Yeah, I think to continue to address it is the floor on this squad is extremely high. Like, if you just fly in a circle the entire game and you go to a regional, I think you can go 3-3, and this is like your first regional. You're fine. On the other hand, a lot of other squads that are playing against it, if you make one mistake, you get caught in the wrong spot one time, you have lost the game. And this Ghost list has a lot of cushion because you have all that hull. As long as you're not taking like 4 harpoon missiles to the face and you couldn't use Fen's ability that turn for whatever reason, unless you let that happen, a lot of times there's plenty of cushion there. It just piles up with Fen. I think Fen is an issue as I'm going through my head is the issue. You have the ability which locks out a modifiers. You have Hotshot Copilot, which has been around for a while, but has been I think now the most efficient use of Hotshot Copilot.
So you're firing at Pio Skill 11.
Yeah. And then you have coordinate, you have evade on the evade action on the Ghost, which is an extra shield every single time. Why do you ever focus on a Ghost? Like, I don't think you ever need to, really.
Well, not on Steve's build.
No, yeah. So, I mean, it takes a super long time to get rid of that Ghost off the table.
Is Fen just a bigger problem in general too? Like, let's say we've moved on from Raptor attack and we're in a different place. Like, we're seeing Fen pop up in all sorts of 3 and 4 Rebel ship builds as well.
Oh yeah,
and he's doing crazy things like the base, like giving Poe an advanced sensors boost at pilot skill 11. There are any number of applications for his power.
Yeah,
is that just too good? Does it matter? I can't even tell anymore. Maybe, like, is X-Wing in a place where everything's just ridiculously good and it's just... I gotta say, like, I feel like I've been pretty boorish, like, over the season because, I talk about how all I do is judge and then I don't practice. But, I've had my best season ever. And I feel like it's because I'm a poor tactical player. I get distracted. I have missed opportunities, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think my strengths are more at the strategic and, and at the squad building level, exploiting, like identifying stuff that's exploitable.
Right.
And I think that's how I got away with doing it this season has X-Wing shifted from dials being paramount to that operational level being the most important thing.
I don't know if it's the... I mean, the operational part of the game is definitely... It has become a lot stronger. We can't deny that, right? But I think what differentiates a great player from an average player is going to be how you can combine these new combinations, things you can exploit with the maneuverability. Because people who are getting to these top tables aren't getting there because of only the list. It's the list plus along the way, at least they're making a few good decisions. Yeah. Maybe just VI is the problem. You've been talking about that. Maybe it's just VI.
I hate Veteran Instinct so much. It's just what it's done to the... I used to complain about this as soon as the Phantom came out. And that was Wave 4. It's still... It's skewing the game and how things are built out. Yeah, it's frustrating. I do take a lot of solace in the fact that for years I've been complaining about Twin Laser Turret.
Oh yeah.
And I've gotten a lot of grief for it. It seems like I'm getting less complaining about my complaining these days.
It's like, hey guys, he might be right.
Yeah. Well, now they went and done it. They, like, you know, the fact that it's on a ghost, that footprint is so much bigger. It was already bad on a small base ship, and then you make range 3 out from a large base ship, and it's outrageous.
Yeah, and then on top of that is because the only quote-unquote safe place from a ghost is on the side arcs. Now, I know that sounds like it's a lot of space, but the problem is that is 180 degrees total, or maybe it's a little bit more than or less than that with the actual angles of the arcs, but of space where with rocks and things like that, sometimes it's not so easy to get into there. So I mean, the not only is a TLT footprint big, it's you take the footprint on top of the available space on the board. You're talking about, I mean, where do you hide, D? Where do you hide?
You can't. Well, and that's where Fen comes in. It's the fact that even if you're flying PS11 aces, you know, or whatnot, you have to account not only for where the ghost is after it moves, you have to account for where those arcs are after it bank boosts, or even just straight boosts. And it's just, yeah, I got to admit, there were times that I felt bad abusing that.
Well, yeah, and then with all the possibilities where it can be, so you're like, okay, now I have to start spreading out my arcs, but then if you're limiting the damage from, let's say you have 4 ships, and now you're limiting it to only 1 ship shooting, plus an evade token, plus hotshot copilot, plus using Fen's ability, you're like, this is fine that I'm only taking shots from 1 ship, because that person had to spread out their arcs to even have a shot. It's, again, yeah, it's this perfect pileup. It's the next boogeyman. We're gonna have to see how it gets addressed.
So do you think people will have the tools to try and figure out a solution for this thing, or is FFG going to have to jump master, Nimulator it?
I don't,
because we've been trying to figure out counter squads,
right?
And I feel
same
like
here.
We're close.
Same here. We're working on it too. We have a couple of things cooking, but I think what ends up happening is to really take down the ship. What you need is you're always gonna have less attacks. Like that's just a thing that's going to happen. So you need attacks that hit harder. But now all of a sudden we're talking about red dice creep. But for instance, I mean, perfect segue here or just a connection is with this wave 14. The possibility of having 5 X-Wings on the table, that's a lot of dice. A ghost does not want to get, 3 to 4 shots from X-Wings.
Well, on that note, that is exciting, right? You bring that up because we can clearly see 5 of those pilot skill ones.
Yep.
In that pack.
Oh, yeah.
But there are only 4 of the other thingies?
Yeah, you have to buy 2. You have no choice. You have to buy 2 boxes.
That puts me in a tough spot too, because someone just pointed out that the Reaper, what's that thing called?
The TIE Reaper
is $30.
Uh huh.
The way I buy models, it looks like I'll have to buy 3 or 4 of those, and that makes me a little grumpy.
Because it's a small base. Oh wait, so. Here's the thing, right? This is going to be the second. Is this going to be the second small base where we're going to see posts on Reddit where people are going to try to fit it inside like the K-Wing box and see like, hey, look, it fits. It's a small base. Why does it need a box?
It does seem a little harsh. What is there anything else in that pack that you that you didn't get to discuss with Tyler and
yes, Blair? So we haven't gotten to talk about what's this thing called? Targeting Scrambler. 0 points. It's unique. At the start of the planning phase, you may receive a weapons disable token to choose one ship at range 1 to 3 and assign it the scrambled condition. And the scrambled condition now on this enemy ship says, when attacking a ship at range 1 that is equipped with targeting scrambler upgrade, you cannot modify your attack dice. You just can't. You can't do it. It's 0 points.
I guess if it's free, cool. Right? but that system slot's typically in high demand, so right. That's... So I guess on like something like a palp shuttle, like this is competition for that collision detector.
Like, you know, I just won't hit rocks. Like your wants collision detector. Maybe the Omicron group pilot wants this instead.
It doesn't sound very good though, does it? Like, let me make sure I'm understanding correctly. So instead of you take a weapon disabled.
Right, you can't shoot.
So any enemy ship at range one within range 3, and if it ends up in range 1 of you, or if it's attacking any ship at range 1,
The person who scrambled them.
That's so specific.
It is. It's super specific. You know what? I think the art tells us everything we need to know about this card. This is it's a fist slamming on a giant red button. It's just like, you know what? I'm about to die. You have a higher pilot skill ship than I do. Hitting the red button, please don't kill me.
This looks like it's scraping a little bit for to find the design space. It's like this is so niche. Like I fully understand that 0 point cost.
Yep. And yeah, that's exactly why it's 0 points. So it's not the end of the world. I did have somebody message me thinking that it's gonna be it's like, oh my god, this is the best. No, it's not. You got to read all the text, and I think some of the what's lost in the translation is the fact that you're assigning the condition, so now the text goes for that ship towards the other one, and it doesn't work against other ships. It's only the one that has targeting synchronizer, or not through synchronizer. Sorry. Targeting scrambleizer. Words are hard.
Like scrambleizer.
Yep, that's the new one. Yeah, we didn't get to talk about Saw Gerrera. Enhance. When attacking, you may suffer one damage to change all of your focus to crit results. 1 point crew slot.
Say that's worth it.
Yeah, 1 point.
It's just the opportunity cost of crew slots. They're the most precious. Rebels have so many amazing crews to begin with. Like the competition's fierce, and it's just getting tougher and tougher.
Is there anything that can regen and take this?
I mean, sure, anything with multiple crew slots and R2-D2.
True. There it is. There's the combo wombo, guys. put it on the table.
And it doesn't have to be an arc either, right?
It does not. There you go. Get your rebel pancakes out. Double resistance sympathizers. One of them with Saw Gerrera and R2-D2.
And has anyone figured out what that evade token is for?
No. I think I know what it's for. I think I do.
I guess it's one of those pilot abilities, because if it's any of these cards, we'd see more copies of, we'd see more than one evade token.
That's true. Well, you know what? I noticed in which ship, one of the ships that we just got, I noticed that it didn't have enough of something. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it didn't have a focus token on the cardboard.
Oh.
So it might just need maybe one, but you might be able to use multiple. Here's an idea. It might only have one evade token on there because only the U-Wing can do it. Even if there's multiple copies in this set, are multiple ships that can use it? Like, if you only have one U-Wing, so one U-Wing equals one evade token? Maybe?
Maybe. Just for the general public, too, I'm pleased that more flight assist astromechs...
Yes, another way to get it.
...are coming. I'm trying to console myself with the argument that I needed four courier droids as well. Because I picked four sheath of peds.
Patrick is asking, why did Wookiee's ships get two reinforced tokens? And that's just because people lose them, I think. I did. I lost them.
I'm clearly overthinking this because the amount of shields here is insufficient for both ships. There's only one focus token and only one crit token there. So
yep.
This is a sampling, clearly.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm excited. You know, the fact that we got S foils. I know we kind of touched on it earlier, kind of. But this is something that the community has been saying, like, this has to be the X-Wing fix. Just the fact that it's here, like, we don't know what it's going to do. We got half a paragraph of blurry text, something about maneuvers and a boost action on the other side. But it looks something different. So
we get, there are four of them.
Yep.
And they're flip cards.
Yes.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, and you know that they're, I know a couple people were asking, how do you know that they're flip cards? If you look on the second row, it says, so this says like T65, we're assuming going to say T65 only. It does say just specifically modification underneath there, because the modification cards are one of those that don't have the symbol in the bottom right corner. It's just on the back of the card. And because there is no back of these cards, like they're double-sided, they have to write the fact that it's a modification somewhere. And it's there, right, on the second line of text. So I had that question earlier, too. And we got another cool, some lady with a gun looking fierce that does something. After something, you may acquire something on the something, assuming a target lock. After defending, you may acquire a target lock on the attacker.
Oh, my middle-aged eyes are useless here. I need to get my enhanced tools.
I have my zoom tools going here. So I think that's what that might be. I'm calling it. Shots fired.
Magva.
I'm sure somebody has read the comic books, and I'm sure that lady has been talked about. Twitch, you know, chat. What's your name?
I've been just slowly working through content by doing up those dragon files, and it's been shocking me because I've been just chewing through the TIE Advanced pilots right now, and it's hilarious where they pull these things from. A couple of them are from Star Wars Galaxies, and then man, who was it? Zyrtec Strom was from 1978 Marvel comic, so they're like, I don't know where they're pulling some of these characters from. did they talk about earlier how disappointing it is that there's no side of K2SO in any form?
Yeah, it got mentioned. This would have been a perfect opportunity because of the U-Wing connection, but at the same time, he didn't have anything directly to do with Saw Gerrera, so I get it. Maybe they thought about it.
We don't know that for sure. Maybe Cassian won him in a game of Savak. Like, who knows?
That's true. We don't know where Cassian comes from. I'm sure insert somebody says Cassian came from here. I mean, not Cassian. K2.
Cassian, he openly talks about engaging in terrorist activity. You know, I'm sure he and Saw got up to a tidy sum of business.
Yeah, but there's lots of, I think, really cool opportunities here in this X-Wing pack, and I'm excited to see what these titles could do for some of the other X-Wing pilots that we haven't seen in a while. Like, one X-Wing pilot that I remember when I got into the game that I've always found super annoying, but, like, in a good way, like, man, this could be a good ship, is Tarn Meissen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He gets that one droid on him, like, when you target, you get... It makes you re-roll all your attack dice. It was like M9G8 before M9G8. But it was
R7.
Yeah, R7 astromech, so good. It's so
he had a little bit of a window. He won a couple of store championships, and then you know just the game shifted on him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like he's been a favorite of mine too. Sorry, I just going back to the S foils though. It just occurred to me that as modifications, is this replacing this? Like you can't take this and integrated astromech, can you?
Maybe there is some. I mean, it's a lot. It's a big wall of text. Maybe there's something in there that says you can take multiple. I mean, it's we already had it with the Vaxi title.
Vaxi, Royal Guard. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be far fetched. Like, hey, throw your bone.
Because that'd be a real bummer.
Yeah.
If you had to choose which baby you love best.
Well, if they're also free but significantly better, like if it says, hey, I know that you're losing this one hit point slash ability to toss whatever crit you want when it happens, here's something really, really good to replace it, like to make up like a little bit more offense or a little more defense to make up for that one opportunity. Maybe it works out.
Right. Sorry about that. I did my usual D thing of derailing the conversation.
It's fine. We're both D something, right? You D own, I'm D Yoon. It works. Oh man. So what's the thing that you're most excited out of here? What are you pumped about?
Oh, it is absolutely that Imperial condition. I'm kind of losing my mind over it, wondering like. Actually, internally in our Minoc Facebook chats today, after you know we all took a gander at this, we went in this big circle like, oh, is it too good? Will it break the game? And well, my response was, I feel like you know for all the complaining I've done over the past year and a half, I feel like maybe even longer, I feel like I'm finally in a semi-good place where, all right, well, no, the game's already broken. What does it matter? Let's you know, like just bring it on.
Yeah, quick cut in here. Mega Silver, actually, and he mentioned here in the chat, he said, Renegade Refit mentioned something about another modification. And if you enhance the very bottom word, the last word that you can see is modification. So you may equip multiple things.
But you only get three of them?
So if you had three, what would you take?
Sorry?
If you got three mods, what would you take?
Ooh, well, let's assume that one of them is these S-foils integrated. Oh, man. I guess it depends on the pilot. If it's something like something like Wedge, he might want vector thrusters. What other goodies are out there? Oh, guidance chips.
Chips, yeah, if you got a missile slot or a torpedo, I mean.
Yeah, all of that sounds great.
Or what if
keep it as clean as possible?
What if the S foils give you the ability to take auto thrusters?
Oh, no brainer.
Yep.
It's at least on a regen ship, you know, post style, because typically auto thruster still isn't good enough to. You know, with two evade dice to really pay out.
Right. Oh man, I love seeing new ships. It just brings that excitement of seeing what comes next. What do we think? And this probably comes out. Let's see, it's February. Did they have a date in the thing? Like a quarter? We think in Gen Con? No, I think it's too soon for Gen Con. What do you think, people?
I don't see a quarter target date. It just says pre-order now. Huh. Well, they have been getting better about their pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least more consistent. And like, remember, oh, shoot, what product was it? Was announced and it didn't arrive for like 9 months or...
Wave 8. Wave late.
Wave late. Yeah. It seems like they've shored that up. So typically what's it been like about 3 months between preview and release?
Yep. So maybe at Worlds.
It'll probably miss Worlds though, right? With the necessary, is it 11 day cooldown.
Right, right. But I'm thinking, like, maybe we could, like, you can use it in the side events or something like that.
Yeah, right. That happened at Worlds a couple back. I remember using Hotshot mm-hmm. Copilot in the hangar bay, and it wasn't eligible for the main event.
Yep. So that could be it. And the Scum and Villainy guys were calling the TIE Reaper the Palpatine Cadillac. All right.
Yeah, the math on that's intriguing, right? Because you could lightweight frame it.
Yep.
And mathematically, on average, it should be sturdier than just a Lambda, and it's also got the smaller profile, so it'll take less shots theoretically. But then you're relying on hull and green dice, and that always gets exciting. Variance is exciting.
Oh yeah, and then if you add on top of that, if you're evading every turn, gives you a little bit. You might be able to get up to the, what's the word? Wow, it's escaping me right now. A similar amount of health and survivability. That's the word I was looking for. Similar survivability, sure, to the original Pop Shuttle. Maybe. Man, so cool. Two hard turner red, though, so you know the dial's going to be crap. It's going to be so bad.
Is it?
Yeah, you can see that on there. Two hard turn is red. It's going to be bad.
Oh, that's a fun tease.
The whole dial's red. Everything. One green maneuver.
It doesn't even look that large, though. Is there any justification for the $30 price point?
Maybe
not that I'm trying to start any waves.
It's begun
here.
Post it on Reddit. Do it. maybe something on it articulates. Because you know what we totally missed?
The strikers. What's that?
Did you see that the X-wing wings articulate?
It does seem that way, right? In the package they look closed.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'll have to there's a part of my OCD then that will want four of these things and then have them repainted.
Right, because you have to open and close them as you flip the title, which I think that's why it's coming with the U-Wing, because you do the same thing with the U-Wing. You flip the wings in and out. Like, they had to. They put this pack and went like, okay, let's do it. Because I know I don't have the ability to mod my ships, so FFG has to do it for me.
I'm really fond of my original X-Wings, though. This is going to cause some trouble for my OCD.
I'll help you. I got you. I got your back. Don't do it, D. Don't do it. It's fine. Everything is fine. Just modify, like, modify your old ones or put them up in a trophy case or something.
John Gomes was just so good enough to me. To give me his Luke Skywalker X-Wing from that he top forward at Worlds with.
Yep.
And you know, like, I don't think I can ever replace it, you know, like, even with an articulating model. But that is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they do more and more of that.
It just adds a fluff. I think it's so cool. And here's something interesting with this pack. I think the biggest thing I'm excited with seeing specifically the X-Wing cards here is that if we can get more X-Wings on the table, that is good for the draw of the game. Because that's something that we were talking about as a podcast community a couple months ago, was that for a while with the Jump Masters running around especially, the recognizability of the game went down quite a bit. Because you had all these ships on the board that your casual Star Wars fan or gaming fan didn't know what they were. So they didn't know we were playing a Star Wars game. All of a sudden, if we start getting more X-Wings on the table, and X-Wings are the big, you know, big metaphors, I don't think anybody's going to complain. Not as much, at least.
No, I even feel like I even wrote in my files, and if X-Wings are even slightly overpowered, minorly, moderately overpowered, like broken, like, fine, so be it. I feel that same way about Darth. Like, I'm really glad Darth Vader is back as a meta staple.
Agreed.
Because that is a recognizable ship. It's a lot better than when, say, Paratani or the 186 was dominating everything. I mean, like, not that I fundamentally hated the those squads, but yeah, you're right. Just casual people just strolling through the game store would have no idea what's going on.
Right. And you know what? I hate to say it. Maybe that's the best thing about the Ghost Squad right now, is that a lot of people watch Star Wars Rebels, and maybe that's the best thing about it. It's like, oh, wait, that's the Ghost. And go, yeah, that's the Ghost. Oh, that's their new shuttle thing because the other one got exploded. Yes, yeah, that's it. But we're not having fun right now.
No. Well, I got to admit, the loot was fun.
Right. That's highest competitive play. I gave a little bit of I was ribbing one of my guys a couple days ago because he brought it to like casual night. I'm like, bro.
Oh no.
Bro, come on. Really? All love though. You know who you are. I'm not gonna call you out, but you know I'll do it.
Well, I mean, if he was looking to get some reps in.
This is true. This is true.
To prepare, that's understandable.
Oh man. Well, you know what? It's getting late. I guess for you in California, what time is it over there?
9:15.
Man, I am both excited and kind of weirded out. But I know I'll be on the West Coast this weekend streaming from Portland. But looking at the airport times is really strange, because it looks like it takes almost no time to get to the West Coast, and then coming home it takes forever. Like, just
which
look.
Which way is the Earth? Is the Earth spinning away from you?
Right, something like that. Like, it goes two. So when I'm going towards you guys, it's 2 hours, minus 2 hours, plus the time it takes to actually be in the air, which I think is like 4 hours. So it only looks like
that
two.
Makes sense.
It only looks like two, but on the way back it looks like six. Right. So feels bad.
The Earth is spinning from east to west, so. That makes a little bit of sense, but man, that's a big gap.
Yeah. So I don't know how these sports teams do it.
Oh, plus the time zones.
Yep.
That's what. Okay. That's that's the 6 hours.
Somebody put on the Twitch chat, the Earth is round. It is. I promise.
Oh, if you one of my closest friends, he works in the aviation industry, and he has a coworker who's a flat earther.
No. What?
It's amazing. If you've ever seen, have you ever seen the flat Earth map?
No.
It's astounding. It's Antarctica. It just rings around the disc on the edge. And presumably we're just traveling within that disc back and forth.
So then are these the same people? They'll say stuff like NASA is fake and the moon landing wasn't real, all that kind of stuff. Like, they're in that same boat. They have to be, right?
Well, they have no consistency either, depending on which group you talk with. They all have their rationalizations of how the Earth is flat.
It just is. It just is.
And it's all a big conspiracy, right? Everyone's right in on it.
Yep.
For no possible gain whatsoever.
Yep. This has been Science Corner with Dion and Dee. I like this.
Oh, no, it's just like, hey, Patrick, it's just like Star Wars Milky Space. We got to deal with it. It's the only way strikers can fly is if if it's a flat planet.
Correct. All right, man. Dee, thank you so much for hanging out with me, man. This has been fun.
Oh, thanks for answering my call ahead of the Zach Matthews.
You know, I just pressed the button. First person, I clicked the button, and you've been hanging out with me, so that's cool.
Right on.
All right, dude. Have a great night.
Thank you for everything you do.
No problem, man. Most of the people in this community are awesome. So I'm doing it for those people. And even for the jerks, I even do it for you because I have no way to ban you from my content. But if I could, I might do it, but I still won't.
Much respect.
All right, man. Have a good night.
Do you live in the Chicagoland area or plan on visiting? Come on down to Pastimes Comics and Games, the home of Gold Squadron, where we play X-Wing every Wednesday and have tournaments the first Sunday of every month. We also play Imperial Assault, Armada, LCG, and Destiny on different days. visit our Facebook page, Pastimes Star Wars, for more information.
So let me tell you about one thing that I am working on. It's something called X-Wing Mind Games. We did a little bit of a test pilot yesterday, but the audio recording failed. So we're going to try one more time. But this will be YouTube content, possibly stream content, if I can figure out how to stream it. But the idea is there'll be a game. It'll look like a normal stream game, except your audio is going to be of the players. The players will have headset microphones on that have an obstruction of their mouth so that the opponent can't see them, and they will have music in a headset. Now, again, this is not in a tournament, but the players will be told to play in a tournament style. And the players who are participating in this understand that this is a learning opportunity, and what they're going to be doing is talking through their thought process. And that's something that I've been trying to figure out how to capture this. Now, of course, one of the complications is, how do you get both players' audio at the same time going and it doesn't sound like trash? So what will happen is, you know, with this, you know, basically face mask so that they can't read each other's lips, and also sound coming through here, and optional earplugs if they feel like they need it. They basically will have some sensory deprivation going on, and they're just looking at the board and talking to the mic, and you'll be able to hear them. And for your audio as an audience, one side will have one player and the other side will have the other. And I'm going to line it up where the player on the left, it will be in the left headphone, player on the right will have the right headphone. So if you have headphones in this style, single earbuds, what you'll be able to do is just like, all right, I want to listen to what this player said at this point. You just listen to this one, or vice versa. Or if you have really good mental separation in your mind, you can listen to both and just kind of selectively in your mentally select who you want. I'm debating how I'm going to upload those videos. Probably at first we're going to start with both audio tracks, and they'll be totally split. So right side will only be one person, left side will be one other person. And then the or I can upload it with the with like the, let's say the same match twice or three times, one with both audio, one with just player one and the other one with just player two. You know, and hide and seek, I did think about asynchronous, like one person walks up and talks and then the next one. The thing is that I'm trying to capture the thought process during a game that includes time, because I think understanding under pressure, because what we're gonna see, and what we've done in our tests and in kind of my own thinking through this as I've started to develop the idea for this content, is the fact that the pressure of the time can affect how clearly you think about things, if you miss anything, missed opportunities, all that. So we still want to keep that same game clock, and the players are talking through it. You obviously can't talk as fast as you think, but even getting some pieces of that knowledge and how people assess a certain situation, how they're looking at the board, what are they missing? Because sometimes you don't realize what you miss until you missed it, right? And giving people those opportunities, everybody that opportunity to learn something from somebody else's mistake. And that's fine. And understanding that, number one, it's not a tournament, so there's no stakes on the line, but you're trying to win the game. You're trying to actively win the game. And I think that it's going to be something that really, really brings some good educational content to X-Wing, and I'm looking forward to see that. Hopefully that sounds exciting to you guys. Just a couple of reminders. If you are a Twitch Prime subscriber, I want to say thank you. If you need to renew, please do that. It doesn't auto do it. So wherever, let's see, you're on the screen. I think it's over here somewhere. I think that's right. in this area, click that Twitch Prime subscriber button. If you don't know how to do it, if you have Amazon Prime, I actually made a video. Go to our YouTube channel. Super easy. I think the video is like 3.5 minutes long. You follow the steps. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. You get a gumboat emoji. You can see them in the chat. They're already there. This has been a lot of fun. I will be this weekend in Portland, Oregon, streaming from the System Open. That's going to be a lot of fun. Huge thank you to Lyle. I'm going to be staying with him, our buddies and one of the hosts of the Scum and Villainy podcast. So that's going to be plenty of fun. If you haven't signed up for Worlds and you want a ticket, make sure you enter the lottery. Do it. Do it now. Don't wait last minute. It closes on the 20th. By now, you probably have heard the bus interview thing. If this is like the podcast you're listening to, you're not watching the stream. So if you want to get on that, make sure you talk to Tim, Timbo Slice. You reach out to him. He's Tim space Bo on Facebook. So I just want to say thank you for everybody watching. You can watch live X-Wing events and content at twitch.tv/Gold Squadron Podcast. We will be streaming from the Portland System Open this weekend. You can watch X-Wing videos and replays of our streams on our YouTube channel. Just look up Gold Squadron Podcast. And lastly, if you enjoy the show and you want to help us continue expanding our content, literally flying across the United States to bring you guys premier level and regional level streams, go to patreon.com/Gold Squadron. It is the biggest group and my favorite group of people that make this possible, because without you guys, I just can't. I can't afford to pay all this on my dime, my own dime. So just all these people together being able to make this happen is amazing. And one last thing, it's still in construction, but I have finally made a presentable version of GoldSquadronPodcast.com. Up there, you will find links to all of our things, the podcast, Twitch, and YouTube, as well as we're going to be adding an online store where you can buy Gold Squadron Podcast swag after our patrons have received it. If you want a copy of the cards for yourself or other things that we're going to have available, and that's another way that you can show support for the cast. We're going to be doing t-shirts and stickers, all kinds of stuff, but just every penny counts, and I figured there's definitely people who just like to buy things, so we're going to make that happen. Also up there is information for our X-Wing League. If you're curious about what we do in our store for X-Wing League, that information is up there, as well as if you're local to the Chicagoland area, our Chicagoland X-Wing calendar is up there showing all available leagues, play nights, and posted events that are available in Chicagoland. So my name is Dio Morales. You have been listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast / watching the Gold Squadron Podcast Twitch stream thingamajig live town hall. Gold Squadron out.